Luke 1:46 through 56. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
Well, these are exciting times. The new Star Wars movie has come out. The Force Awakens. And of course, I'm looking forward to the sequels. The Force looks around and the Force goes back to sleep. These are exciting times. Only 3.5 shopping days until Christmas. It's probably a good time to start thinking about what you might want to give to your friends and family for Christmas. Although in this regard, we have all kinds of help, don't we? I mean, advertisers everywhere, all the time, telling you how to spend your Christmas dollars to make other people and yourself happy. I've been paying close attention to the advertising on television and radio. And so this year, my friends and family are all getting an assortment of pharmaceuticals for Christmas. The downside of this, of course, is that with each gift, I also have to give them a disclaimer. Here, this might kill you. Merry Christmas. Exciting times. You know, everywhere you look, you don't see the Christ, you see presidential candidates, right? It doesn't matter where you look, they're everywhere. They're getting more airtime than flow from Progressive. Don't change the channel. They're on all of them. We're not actually supposed to talk about politics in church. The government doesn't like it. And rightfully so, if we're using the sacred church as a facade for fighting and winning secular political battles, you know, telling people how to vote and the like, that's really not our place. But it is hard to avoid offering wisdom and insight that impinges upon perceived political issues if we are truly preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God, which has much to say about worldly politics and human motivations behind worldly politics and God's purposes in and through worldly politics. With that in mind, let me suggest this, at the risk of being political, at the risk of being relevant, Jesus Christ would allow Muslim people from any and every corner of the world to enter his kingdom if they wanted to do so. Not only that, but here's something else. Jesus died so Islamic extremists, even members of ISIS, could and would lay down their bombs and come to him and receive life eternal. Now, if that makes us angry, we need to go back and look again at Jesus and at the good news, the gospel shared by him and about him. Mary, Jesus' mother, helps us do this very thing through her famous song called the Magnificat, named after the Latin translation of the first word of her song, megalune in Greek, magnify, make greater the living God. Now, when and where does she say this? Well, the setting for Mary's song is after the Annunciation, when the angel came and told Mary that she was going to have a baby without benefit of male participation in the process, that she was going to be miraculously impregnated by the Holy Spirit and bear a very special son. It's after that announcement and after she went and visited with her cousin, Elizabeth. It's actually during that visit that she shares this song. It's a song that's reminiscent of others, especially the song of Hannah, which you can find in 1 Samuel chapter 2, a song that Hannah sang after, as she was dedicating her son Samuel, who would become the great prophet of Israel of his day. As she was dedicating this little boy Samuel to the Lord, she offered what's called Hannah's song, and it's similar to the one that Mary sings. Mary's song is a word of highest human praise and a highly political poem. It reveals the gospel, the surprising and powerful ways of God, Almighty God, who successfully challenges and defeats the wrong-headed idealism of worldly power politics. It exemplifies good and right human response to the good news of her son, Jesus, the Messiah. When it comes to personal faith and hope and trust in God, in Jesus Christ, it is good to be an extremist. Mary's song remains relevant, extremely relevant today. Jesus would welcome Muslim ISIS members to his new life, eternal kingdom. But they will need to lay down their self-serving bombs and bow to him and his ways of love. Make no mistake, the real God opposes the worldly power goals of ISIS, no matter what its members may shout about Allah. By the way, it works the same for Jews and Hindus and militant agnostic pacifists and Christians. God doesn't oppose Middle Eastern Muslim extremists because God likes America better, or Christians better. It is because Jesus Christ is Lord, and his ways are much different than those of the world, and his good news is ultimate truth. Churches trying to win for Jesus by being big and powerful and enforcing his will on others, translation, our will on others, will fail. American Christians who sincerely believe they can vote for an effective new Savior will be bitterly disappointed again and again and again. That position has been and is being filled by Jesus of Nazareth, God the Son. And it is not subject to democratic processes of election. That's good news, friends. Because we are living in a time where increasingly the will of the people, the will of the people, by the people, for the people, is increasingly becoming the will of the media, by the media, and for the media. And if you don't believe that, look at who the front runners are right now in the presidential campaign. I don't mean that to be political or tell you who to vote for. It's just the truth. If you want to be president, step one, become famous, an actor, a face that everyone sees. And that will give you a leg up, and people will take you seriously whether you're serious or not. It's media. I'll stop there. God will not bless the violent, holy war, worldly power orientation of ISIS and all such groups, not ultimately. God will bring down such organizations, whether they think they are serving Allah God or Yahweh God or Burning Man God or Jesus God. We'll see. Just listen to the inspired words of Mary. We heard them read. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you'll help us to hear your word for us today. A word of hope. A word of different ways of doing things than what we're used to in the pond we're swimming in. Lord, I pray that you would fill our minds with truth and hope and joy today on this Sunday before Christmas through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Magnificat song of Mary reveals amazing supernatural reversals that come with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The inescapable divine reversal of God's superintending activity and the human reversal of our wise and faithful response. Mary's song reveals the gospel of Jesus Christ, divine reversal. We see that God sees what is humble. God sees what is humble. This is a reversal of the world's ways that we're all too familiar with, is it not? A world in which what is humble is overlooked in favor of what is big and proud. Verses 48 and 49, he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Mary was a Palestinian teenager, a nobody. And now she has one of the most recognizable names in all the world. God did that. And he didn't do it because she ran a campaign or found a way to get her face everywhere in Palestine or around the world. She was a humble teenager who simply received what God gave her. God sees what is humble. Is that an encouragement for you? I hope it is. I think it is an encouragement for all who wonder if anybody sees us, cares what we are doing. We aren't that famous here. The world isn't paying that much attention to us. But God is. And the way to be seen by God is not to get on TV. The way to be seen by God is to simply be. God's message is mercy for those who freely choose to fear him. That's a reversal. It's a reversal of the message from evil and from worldly powers. Look, what does the world say to us? What do powers within the world want to say to us? What's the message that they want us to hear? Our wrath, our punishment, our pain is for those we are compelling to fear us. Don't forget that. You rub us the wrong way, you will pay. We can make your life miserable, right? And so we fear, and so we snap to, and so we fall in line, and so we try not to rub those powers the wrong way. But listen to what God's message is. Right here, he reveals to Mary, and she sings out, God's mercy is for those who fear him. In a worldly sense, in a self-centered sense, God is running the risk of people actually hearing that message and so disregarding him. His mercy is for those who fear him, so we're off the hook. There's deep irony here. Those who fear God don't need to. Those who rightfully see God as the ultimate force that's always been awake, the one that we truly need to fear because he has our eternal destiny in his hands. Not just merely this physical life, but eternal life in his hands. What really matters is in his hands. We don't need to fear armies or burglars or crazy people. We need to fear God. And yet here's the message of God saying, do that. And my mercy is for you. Those who fear God don't need to. The one we most need to fear has been revealed to us as the one we least need to fear because he loves us. And then, of course, the other irony is those who do not fear God should. And then God's action brings the high down and lifts the lowly. There's a reversal. That's what Mary sings. That's what God reveals. It's a reversal of the power structures we live under in the world. The rich get richer. You've heard that. It's true. You want to be rich? You want to be wealthy? Step one, get $1 million. Step two, use that $1 million to make more money and to keep it all. That's how it works. The rich get richer, the poor poorer. The high rise up and the low sink down. Success begets success. Convince others to say you're great, and you will be great. God humbles those who help themselves. Contrary to the popular misquoting of the Bible, God helps those who help. No, actually, God humbles those who help themselves. Verse 51 and following, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Do you believe that? You know, you don't actually need to go to the Bible to figure that one out. You can actually read your newspapers. You can read your history books. Tell me, which great human empire has lasted? You can count them on no hands. There is not a single human empire that has come and stayed. And yet, we human beings always think that the one that we're in is the one that's going to beat the odds. Our empire will last forever. Everyone thinks that. There's zero evidence from history that that is true. The only kingdom that lasts is the kingdom of God, and it's a different sort of kingdom. God humbles those who help themselves. He brings down the mighty. It always happens. It doesn't happen right away, but it always happens. And here's a deeper example for us. Salvation. Salvation by grace. We don't save ourselves. Nobody goes to heaven because they merit that privilege. Nobody. Nobody goes to heaven because they did enough spiritual weightlifting, push-ups, built themselves up into the kind of person that was fit for heaven. Not a single person does it that way. It can't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. Salvation comes pure and simply through the grace of God given to people through Jesus Christ and his completed work on the cross. And what people do to get in on that is simply to open empty hands humbly. I got nothing. Lord, would you? I will receive what you give. And he gives it. You see, that is, if I have to come to God and say, hey, look what I got. Look at this, huh? Huh? Not bad. I was a pastor for years. I told the truth about you most of the time. What do I get for that? If I come as something high, imagining myself as something high, something mighty, someone who's pulled this off, someone who has you, God, in my debt, it doesn't work. I'm brought down. Ah, but if I come as one who can and does say, compared to your standards, I got nothing, God. Would you? Would you love me? Would you save me? I'm low. You're high. And what happens? God lifts us, lowly people, to the heights of heaven. That's how it works. Mary sings about this. Then God fills the empty and empties the full. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. This is good news for those who don't have much in the world. And let's take a note here. This is a word for the poor. He has filled the hungry with good things. That's a word for the poor, not a word for the rich. See, the rich like that verse. Oh, God fills the hungry, so I don't have to. I can keep all my stuff. It's a nice word for the rich. God fills the hungry, so I can just fill myself. That is not the word for the rich. It's a word for the poor. We're supposed to share what we have. It actually works better that way. But there's another half of the verse 53 that is for the rich, and it says this, and the rich he has sent empty away. There's a good word for the rich. Look, make your wealth your ultimate goal. Try to keep what you have rather than sharing with others, and you will end up empty. That's Mary's warning here. That's part of her Magnificat song. Look, if you're trying to follow the beer commercials, it's an old beer commercial, but memorable, and reach for all the gusto, if you're trying to grab as much as you can and hang on to all of it for yourself, you're going to end up empty. Might as well share. What's all this mean? Well, we'll come back to something we've said before. It helps us to understand, Mary's song helps us to understand that the fundamental reality in the universe is the living God. It's all about Him, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the source and sustainer and redeemer of everyone and everything else. God will reverse the fortunes of those both who are full of themselves and so full of things, and those who are full of Him, and so sometimes mostly empty of worldly rewards. So how do we respond to this God and this gospel? Let me conclude with Mary's example. You see, her song reveals the wise and faithful response that we can make to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here there is a counterintuitive, counternatural human reversal. Mary offers two wonderful examples, which I'm going to call telescopic trust and periscopic praise. Okay? Telescopic trust. My soul magnifies the Lord. Telescope is one of these words that we all know. Everybody knows about telescopes. It's one of these words made out of Greek words, tela or telos and skopos. Telos is a word, we've talked about this word before. It's one of my favorite Greek words. Telos is a word that means the end of things, the destiny of things, where things are going. They're not there yet. Like the telos of an acorn is a huge oak tree. The telos of a little puppy is a full-grown German shepherd. I mean, you look at that puppy and you don't see a full-grown German shepherd, but within that reality of that puppy is what it is to become, which is the telos of that puppy, which is a full-grown dog. Telos is things far away that we are moving toward, inevitably. The end, the result, the perfection of things. So a telescope, skopos means sight. A telescope is something that takes things that are far away and makes them close, right? So you take your telescope and you look up the sky and the planets and the stars get bigger. You look across at something and that thing that's far away, it becomes bigger. It's an interesting thing about telescopes, at least the ones that I use, which are little ones you can get in a toy store. If you turn the scope one way, things out there are big. If you turn it the other way, things out there are even smaller, right? So you got to turn the telescope the right way. Well, Mary turns the telescope the right way. My soul magnifies the Lord. I got my scope out, and the side that's being magnified is the living God, who is my destiny. And by my attitude, by my actions of magnifying the Lord, I'm making Him bigger and I'm making Him closer in my attitude and my experience. And that's very wise. But it is not natural. We naturally flip the telescope the other way. It is natural for us human beings to want it to be about me. Hey, look, I'm flipping my telescope. Hey, you want to look through here? Look, look how big I am. Look, go ahead, look. You're actually quite small when I look, but if you look, I'm big. God, you want to look through this? Look how big I am. That's what we do naturally. Mary, supernaturally, wisely, beautifully, magnificently, flips her life telescope the right way. My soul magnifies the Lord. Thus, she can live with faith, hope, and love. And she can face the challenges of her life with courage and confidence and faith. And we see that. I mean, let's be honest here. When the angel comes and says, you're going to be pregnant, little Jewish girl, without benefit of a husband's participation, your life just became a mess. Right? I mean, there's no reason why she would expect Joseph to hang around with her after that, and that's her life. She's betrothed. She now becomes a divorced woman. And in her culture, that's not a good thing. A very patriarchal culture. I mean, potentially, it's a death warrant. People in her community find out that she's pregnant, and Joseph says, wasn't me. She can be stoned. Not that they necessarily practiced that, but they could. And God here, hey, wonderful news, you're going to be pregnant. And Mary says, remember, may it be to me as the Lord says, I am the Lord's servant. Boy, she had her telescope adjusted well. Then, so telescopic trust and then periscopic praise. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Periscope is another one of these Greek mashed together words. Peri means around. And then, of course, skopos is view or sight. So it's an ability to look around. And, of course, we're familiar with periscopes on submarines, right? Up scope, it goes up, and then it can look around up above the surface. Periscope. Well, Mary has periscopic praise. You know, we're all down here in the submarine, friends. We can't see the light of day down here below the surface in the dark, living on imported oxygen. This isn't it. But there is a place where there is life and health and wholeness for all and forever. We're not there right now. We're down in the submarine, friends. Our faith pushes up that periscope where we can see what is above, what is real, what lasts, where we belong. And that is in the Lord, heaven, eternity. And Mary, by her praise, has that periscope up, her periscopic praise. I praise the living God. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He is real. He lasts. He is what matters. He's at the center of everything, even though down here it's hard to see sometimes. With God's help, we have our periscopic faith, and what we see is what we are made to worship, the living God. And we also see reason after reason after reason to praise Him. Mary, she's magnificent. Oddly enough, probably if you lived in her day and you looked at her, you wouldn't give her a second look. She's just a kid. She's just part of the crowd. But she is magnificent. And her faith, her praise, her life, her attitude is worth paying attention to and following after. May we be like Mary. May we have that periscopic praise. Up, praise God. And telescopic trust. bringing God near and trusting in Him. And may we sing that very political song of human praise as God leads us to do so. Oh, the living God, He doesn't do things the way the world does. Do we feel bad because in the world we're nobodies? Oh, look at the living God. We're not nobodies. Do we lament that we don't have everything that we want to have? Others have so much more. Rejoice. The living God is filling those who are empty, and He will fill those who are empty. And He is blessing those who don't have as many blessings here and now. He is lifting the lowly, and the high He is bringing down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for the example of Mary, for the truth of Your word, for the opportunity once again that we have here to rest, to take a deep breath, to honor You and worship You, to hear from You. Lord, I pray for me and I pray for us that this word, this song from Mary would take root in our hearts, that would help us to adjust our goals, our view, our attitude, more in line with You, more in line with what is real and true and lasting, with what matters. Lord, not to score points with You or anybody else, because we don't need to. You've given us all the points we need in Jesus Christ. Lord, not that by doing so we can make our way to You, for You've made Your way all the way to us in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. But Lord, simply that we would live as Your people in the way that You have designed us, in accordance with what works, what is right, what is true. I pray this for each and every one of us in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.